All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Four Guys,
One Film.
Nice. All right, so we want to jump right into it. This time, we're reviewing Monkey Man. This is Dave Patel's directorial debut.
It's Dev Patel, goddamn. It's not Dave.
Isn't it Dev?
You always got to do that.
I said Dev.
You said Dave.
Dev, that's what I said. Man.
He's already whitewashing.
I'm using Hollywood Will. Oh, my God.
David Patrick is directing this one.
See, maybe his name was... Dave, people would have watched this, okay? Oh. It's not my fault.
It's actually making money, you asshole. The reason we're reviewing it is actually a really good movie.
That's why Netflix dropped it, because his name wasn't Dave?
I think so.
It's because of people like...
What did you say earlier? Netflix didn't know the shit that we're saying right now, man.
They could be future sponsors.
Exactly.
Of course. Never mind. Sorry, Netflix, you...
Beautiful bastards.
All right, guys. So let's jump into it. I think the synopsis for the film, it's a classic revenge story. It's heavily like influenced by movies like John Wick. I mean, he said one of his favorite films he ever watched like as a kid was Enter the Dragon.
Enter the Dragon, Bruce Lee.
So, I mean, you can definitely see all those heavily influenced... I mean, those films heavily influenced this and his, style. It's... this kid, I think by in the movie he's referred to as Bobby as well.
Bubby.
Hey George, and not to ram your fucking thing, but can you introduce us all? Like maybe get an introduction.
Well, I thought we were doing a synopsis of the film, and then we'd introduce ourselves. But all right, this is George. I'm gonna take the reins today, Gator.
This is George.
This is George.
This is Alexis.
This is Nick.
Whoa,
dude, that'd be funny if we actually got your brother, dude, to do this. It'd be funny.
Oh, I know. I've used him for voice acting. Yeah. But anyways, Monkey.
Moving back.
Hanuman.
So basically, in the beginning of the movie, it explains how his village got raided by these corrupt cops and this other guy. What was his name? The
chief of police.
Jesus guy.
Rana, the chief of police.
Talking
about the Baba Shakti.
Yeah, the Baba Shakti was in charge of these
people. We don't know that off the rip. We just know that...
Yeah, but I mean, basically... The police that are...
spoilers. Heavy fucking spoilers.
Heavy spoilers.
You can't be fucking...
Well, I'm giving a synopsis. I hope you have already seen it.
You gave a lot of the fucking...
Let the man talk. Damn.
So these... corrupt police people...
I don't like this fucking
basically,
game.
They want to take their land. They end up... murdering and...
No, they take their land.
Well, they're fighting back. They pillage his village.
Colonizing.
And literally end up murdering his mom in fucking cold blood.
Pretty brutal.
Brutal murder. Actually, the main bad guy, the main antagonist...
the chief of police. Just
the chief of police.
Rana, I believe?
Rana's the chief of police,
the frog. He basically sets Dave Patel's mom on fire. And
well, strangles her to death.
Yeah, hey, she was hot.
I don't know what that has.
But
okay. And then
some would say she was sizzling.
Oh wow. My god, she was crispy when we were done with it.
Wow,
it was
crazy. I don't know how the last one works, George.
I'll cut it.
So he ends up burning his hands, trying to turn his mom off because she's in flames. She ends up dying. He survives.
God, this is about as long as the movie.
Jesus Christ.
He's pissed. He's fucking ready for blood. And that's it. George, that's literally the intro. That's all you need to know. It goes on from there. Him becoming a waiter.
It won't stop.
Going
you just regurgitated the same thing.
Hey, man, this is Indian John Wick,
all
right?
All right, let's that's it. That's all you
need to say.
The Baba Yaga.
It just says fucking Indian John Wick.
It's that's all you need to know.
The Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga.
The Baba Yaga. Good all right. Yeah. So from there, I mean, I think we should talk about first to start. I mean, how difficult it was to make this movie?
Yeah.
Right. For Dev, he says that he spent literally 10 years trying to make this thing happen, and then he eventually did.
From just like the inception of the idea, right? To like
he started writing it 10 years ago, right? And then like he started trying to actually make it happen in 2019 during COVID and the lockdown, which sounds like an impossible task, but somehow he made it work. But I think one of the biggest obstacles he had to overcome, one, actually having someone want to produce this film, pay for the filming and everything, and
my question is this his first time directing a film? This is his first film?
Yeah, this is his directorial debut.
That's nuts to like be in the situation, first time directing.
I think that's the worst case scenario. It's like literally you had the film during COVID. This is the first film that somebody was like, hey, let's do it. But then they're like, all right, there's a million obstacles you have to overcome now. Because it's like, not only do you have to like work with the small budget that they gave him, but
all these restrictions.
No.
And then you're in like a whole other country.
I'm pretty sure he had to fly to a different island, right? Where it was like during quarantine.
He filmed in Indonesia, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they basically had to do it in an island where they were quarantined. He flew out a crew of, I think it was only like 500 crew members.
435 people.
How much was it?
435 people.
435. Wow. That's
you know what? You mentioned Indonesia. It kind of reminds me of The Raid. You guys seen The Raid, right?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I feel like this was kind of like a mix of like John Wick.
Like they did like an overhand shot like Phil was The Raid. And then John Wick also did that too in the fourth one.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Dragon's Breath and shit.
That was inspired by a video game,
I think. And I think a lot of what we're going to talk about is like how this movie was like heavily inspired by these types of movies. And like they reference it right at the beginning of the movie. He's like, this is a John Wick.
Yeah. They literally named John Wick.
I kind of didn't like that.
But I think that's hard not to do that.
I know, but it kind of already puts it in your head. You're like, it's like, okay. Yeah, expect John Wick.
One of the other reviewers actually put it like perfectly. He said, they wear it on their shoulder and proudly. They're not like, you know, trying to hide the fact that they're
influenced. The only thing I didn't like was it was like, okay, he has the same suit. He kind of has the same cut as kind of Keanu. Like,
but he has a dog.
But here's the thing.
Does he have a dog?
He has
a street dog.
But I'll wait until we get to like actually going over the next parts of the movies. But I don't think any of those elements were like cheesy or for no reason. Like the suit had a reason. The dog had a reason. So it's like, yeah, it has like the fucking similarities, but it wasn't just,
it wasn't a
dog to have a dog.
It wasn't a blatant ripoff.
It wasn't. And I can admit that, but I'm just saying like, if there's something like, because in one of the interviews, he's like, I'm trying to portray a waiter. I'm like, a waiter doesn't have a nice black suit, Dick. Like,
no, but that's the problem.
No. They were in a high-end restaurant. Yeah, like, of course he had.
That was his uniform. That's what I'm saying.
But he went to go fight. He didn't have like a nice black suit. Like
he did at the end.
At the end,
yeah, exactly.
Once he came back, like, and he's like, normal bus,
you don't have a nice suit.
No, but he didn't remember. So that was the whole point. Like, I mean, I guess
it's all a front.
I guess we're gonna get into it in a second, but
no, because when he attacked the place at the end, he didn't need to have a suit. Like, if I was
he wanted it because he wanted to still have as much of an element of surprise as possible.
You're skipping ahead too far.
Yeah, like I mean, too soon. Maybe. Like, remember, like just to skip a little bit, Alfonso, like which is his friend or who ended up using. He was the one who hooked him up with the gig to start working at the VIP levels and above.
But that's because he also kind of helped him out by telling him that he was going to lose the fight.
Exactly, right. by giving him a shit ton of cash. Yeah. And so, like, that's where he got access to the suit and the attire to be able to belong up there. Mm-hmm. And so I think he wanted to keep some of that on to still, like I think the symbolism, you know, we talked about a little bit about what the movie's about and how it's, you know, Mumbai, John Wick and everything like that. But there is still a lot of influence on.
I mean, I don't know if I'd describe it that way.
That's literally how they describe it.
If you say so, Nick. Yeah,
it's on IMDb.
Who was they?
IMDb. Don't fucking tell me. You blame them, like, okay?
Keep scrolling.
Keep scrolling there. I will find it.
But one of the things.
Boom, bitch. That's a comment. No, what do you
John
mean?
John Wick in Mumbai.
Hey.
Not Mumbai, John Wick.
Hey, not regardless. A really big difference there, buddy.
Not a big
really
difference. Thank you, Isaac. I appreciate you.
I mean,
but going into it, like I said, I think that there's just a lot of elements that, like, when even talking about like the religion aspect, the corruption aspect, that we don't really see in movies like John Wick or traditionally like Western movies. Because like when we talk about politics over here and corruption, it's always like some fucking conspiracy theory. Versus like countries where we're from or other third world, second world countries. It's just a real thing.
Like, it was a real thing that actually happened in India. Like, they tie it back into something very political that actually happened over there. One of the things that, you know, I wish this movie would have, I think, with the time that they had, because this movie's almost a full 2 hours long. You know, I think they could have got away with like either cutting the time and like what they were doing to set up some of the stuff, but also trying to maybe adjust in. Maybe giving a little bit more backstory or like having a better training montage. Cause I didn't like the training montage.
Yeah, I do think that's one of the complaints that I have about this movie. I agree with you, Gator. I think there was backstory, but it wasn't enough for me to care about his character so much. And like until the end, because the end is literally
like,
what they show is horrific.
Yeah. I'm not going to like say that it's not. Like, it's super horrific what happened to him as a kid. But can we see a little bit more backstory? Like, what happened in between there? Like, what made you turn to fighting? Like,
also, you were a little kid then. Yeah. Like, how did
what was
you
your life
it
in
just skips into
yeah.
your
and
like
also,
20s?
Like, fuck.
But
like,
I think
when he was in the temple, like, sorry for cutting you off, Nick.
No.
When he was in the temple, like his quote unquote training, he was just punching a fucking bag. How the fuck do you go from just punching a bag to like, oh, I could go take on like this hotel full of all these dudes and shit? And like, now,
well, I mean, maybe a little bit with the fact that he's in the slums fighting.
Yeah, like, he already had some prior experience. He's I think that was more rehabilitation. Like, I didn't take that as much as training, as much as I took it as rehabilitation. Like, he already had some training. He took him on once, but
He got pretty injured after that.
This is kind of the point that I wanted to make.
Well, my thing is that he always had a losing fight.
Let Nick talk.
Well, the losing fights was because Tiger, the organizer of the whole thing, literally like that. The conversations they had was like, you're going to be the bad guy. I need you to be the bad guy. I need you to always lose. Like, I don't know if you remember, he was fighting not Cobra, but the guy Kong. Was it Kong? He was fighting the guy who had no mask or nothing. Yeah. And he was like, hit me now. Like telling him like, we need to sell this. Like, so he was fully conscious. He was telling him like, you're going to finish me, basically. Like WWE shit. And so...
Yeah, but the bad guys in WWE will win once in a while.
We didn't get to see any of that. But I think he had some training in fighting. And then I think the whole point was his first go around, his motivation was just anger and revenge. But he didn't have like the mental kind of fortitude to really take it to the end and really finalize like what he was desiring to do, which was avenge his mom. And so it was when he made it to the temple and when he was rehabilitated by Alpha and all of the people there, that they were able to basically go on this spiritual journey to be like, you're gonna like face your demons, like, and we're gonna help you understand them, and we're gonna help you, and we understand his backstory. And then he really takes on like this role of like, I'm not just here for revenge, but I'm going to avenge everybody else's wrongdoings against.
Yeah, that's one point.
It's a greater responsibility.
Exactly.
Jordan Peele, I think, described that really well in one of the interviews that he did. He's talking about how his character is literally that. It's not just a story about vengeance for himself; it's for all the people around him, and also how it ties back to the deity, Hanuman. Yeah, and how he rises and then he falls
and then he comes back up.
Exactly.
And so that's what he literally did, right? Is he made it up to the VIP floor. He fought. He ended up having to fucking almost die to then ascend back up all the way up to the god level this time to face off against freaking Baba Shakti, who was really running the whole show, and then had his final climactic scene with him. But that's kind of what I'm saying is, you know, like we have the John Wick movies, which I love John Wick, and I don't think anybody in this room doesn't, but like he's just immediate badass. He doesn't lose. And even when he's losing, it's like, it's such an unfair battle that you never take it against him. You're like, why wouldn't he lose? He should have lost hours ago.
And those movies are more like style and us just like Keanu Reeves.
Exactly.
Keanu Reeves, yeah, because by the fourth one, you're just kind of like, all right, John's already been through it. His redemption is already like, all right, he killed the guy that stole his car, killed his dog. Mm-hmm. Now he's just, for the fuck of it, killing people.
Now he's just trying to live a free life.
Yeah, now he's just trying to earn his freedom.
So,
But like, again, it's like my issue with this movie. Like, they went for the approach of trying to show like a background, like a background story of who this character is. Like, I think they could have done a better job with that. Like, you know, like I said, maybe figured out how he actually figured out how to fight. You know, instead of like one of the things that I had a gripe with is that they kept showing scenes of the deity, like every time like he would like kind of like lose a battle in one way or another, it would always go back to the deity climbing on top of the hill.
I don't know if I used that word correctly. Was it deity or is it just a god? Like in
the same thing.
A deity is a god. Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah.
Don't want to. Appreciate you. Don't blame me later. All right.
Get in the comments and say.
I understand that's like that particular deity's story and everything, but like instead of like having to do that every time, maybe like okay, like maybe show a little bit of his background where he was like learning the first time he ever fought in the slums and he's rising back up. I think that would have been a cooler transition instead of
how he made it to the.
Yeah, like instead of just seeing, oh fuck, we're gonna see the painting again of the in the painting when you see when he's fighting the Baba Shakti at the end anyway, so it's like it's I don't know, I think they could have used a little bit more money, but I guess they also had a budget. They only had a $10 million budget, and
I think the only go ahead, Alexis. The only thing that I was gonna say, the only exposition that I really saw where him is like, oh, he's genuinely trying to get closer and closer to the people, is where that he finds that little crown and then he's like, oh, it's linked to this organization, which is a club, and then this is the club owner, and then he steals her bag and then he gets an interview for a job, and then it's just kind of like, all right, that exposition was nice.
That was a cool montage. When the bag going through like the little city.
And that's a real thing. There's so many footage like little of networks. Like, are people doing that in countries where there's literally like thieves that will like work together and into one unit where they're stealing from like tourists or from like people.
Actually, I kind of want to, you know, have a little discussion on that, because you know you see the way that these people live, and you know it really kind of shows you like the poverty level in this place and how people really need to fight to like get to the top. And it isn't like you kind of have to step on other people.
Well, the only way that, you know, those people got to where they're at, like the freaking Jesus and the, you know, the bad Rana, guy,
Queenie, all of Rana, them, yeah.
is because they're literally killing and they're like, yeah. we're going to take it by force. Yeah. And that's the only way we know.
Because like there are a lot of scenes where you see people just like tons of people sleeping together.
Yeah. On cardboard, so shit poor. Like that on the floor.
Oh, and yeah. So there's a specific scene with it, yeah. where kid is sleeping.
Yeah. And it kind of it kind of makes sense that just like people fall into that cycle of violence, and that's the only way that they can find success.
Yeah, at some point you provide, and that's mm-hmm. doesn't matter who you have to hurt and what you gotta do, you gotta provide.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna provide for the people that I care about, not the people I don't care about. Right, so fuck them,
because those people are fucking dead now.
Yeah,
so, yeah, and that isn't really something that you get to see in a lot of action films, like, you know, maybe in Rambo in the first one, but that was a very political film. But then,
no, you see it when he goes back to Vietnam.
And what is that, the third one?
That's the second one. Rambo 2.
Oh.
And that's kind of, I think, a little bit of what Dev Patel mentioned,
yeah, too. Actually, going back to Dev uh-huh. Patel's origin is Slumdog Millionaire. That's one where it depicts that very well. Well,
he also talked about it. So, like, when this film premiered at South by Southwest, like, he was literally saying, he's like, he was tired of, like, action being just, like, mindless shit. He's like, there's obviously the great action films that do an amazing job of showing real martial arts, real gung-fu, or anything like John Wick, you know, any of, like, especially the older, like, you know, we talked about Predator, we've done a lot of other action films.
Mm-hmm. Ip Man.
But he's great like, one. I wanted to show something that had soul, real trauma, real pain, and, like, you can see also, like, the cultural impacts and aspects. And, like, you know, he talked about it in a lot of his interviews with Jordan Peele, like, where he was like, I wanted to make something that was for us, too. Like, that looked like is something for people who look like you and people who look like me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think that's great. Like, there's so much untapped culture in a lot of other genres. Like, I feel like it doesn't always have to be a documentary about what it's like to live in Mumbai.
Actually, have Mumbai. One thing that Dev said as well in one of those interviews that I really enjoyed is he talks about how he presented this film after he wrote it to the director of District 9, and he wanted him to direct it. And then the director, I forgot his name, but
Neil Blomkamp,
but yeah.
South African.
He basically said, no, this is you. This is your movie.
You know what you it's like to be from this area.
He's
you
like, I've never been to India, never done any of this shit. This is,
this is literally you. And he basically told him, like, yeah, I can't direct this movie for you because this is something that you should do.
But it's funny because he said, I can't direct it, but you can use one of the actors that I always use.
Oh, he became a Tiger, right?
Yeah, but that guy's a fucking hard ass.
I really like
Tiger. He did great in this. Tiger was a really big highlight.
I really like him in the 18. Too
on the 18,
he cleaned up really well for this too. Like, I was just like, oh shit! Like, he's in a suit. He's over there. Fucking
it was a dirty suit, but he looked.
No, I know. He killed it.
Those wrestling scenes I really enjoyed. Like the way it was set up, it felt very visceral, like very in your face. I'm right there, and the whole monkey suit. It was creepy, but it was cool.
It really, like, this movie is trying to show you all the aspects of, like, the deplorables and the degenerates and stuff. Like, I mean, even the fact that, like, pretty much the only level of entertainment that we're seeing is still violence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these people can only afford to gamble on, like, every other kind of, I guess.
Who are these people, Nick?
What
do you mean?
The lower class.
Oh, okay.
So, like, when you think about, like, I guess Western media and stuff, and you think about, like, the things that the lower class in our cultures end up doing, it's a lot of gambling. Vegas, they're like, they're addicted to gambling, drugs, alcohol, stuff like
playing
that.
Playing poker, stuff like
here,
that.
Here, it's almost like they're gambling, but they're doing, like, illegal, like, wrestling, illegal fights and matches and stuff like that. It's all very violent.
Well, not only that, I mean, it kind of shows that his character had to stoop to that level to survive. He's literally fighting to survive because, like, probably that was his main source of income.
Oh, absolutely.
Because before that, it just, like, he wasn't even a waiter. Like, his whole thing is like, I want vengeance and I need a way to learn how to fight and be able to do that and still make money. So he's like, let me go fight in some slums and prepare.
Yeah. So very much a fighter for the people, but not at first. He became that.
So now that I think we got to the point where we kind of talked a lot about the movie. I still want to talk about the movie, but I think since this is his first time filming a movie and doing, like, he pretty much from A through Z, he was a major part of the,
you know, writer, producer, director, actor.
enthusiast.
Editor, probably.
Did he produce it? I mean, did he put any of his own money on this shit?
Well, he's still... Sure. I'm sure. Even if he didn't put his own money, he put a lot of his, like, heart into it.
I think there was a lot of shit they had to do, I think to some extent he had
Literally, he talks about how he had to film some of the scenes on his iPhone. Yeah.
I kind of wonder which iPhone. You know, was it a 10 or
11? There were some certain scenes that were, like, so shaky. Yeah, and, like,
there was a scene where, like, they fell in the water... And it looked really bad. It looked really grainy.
Yeah,
that's probably the iPhone shot.
Yeah, that's probably the
water, waterproof. Like,
fuck it, their water assistant.
He talks so many like about certain things where it's like, oh, we had a camera rig that was super expensive that we set up. It broke, and then he's like, we had to like makeshift some shit with like a rope and the camera and like all these different things. And it's like, could you imagine? He's like. After a certain point, when they ran out of money and everything, he's like, we no longer could bring extra equipment in. We couldn't fly anybody else out because we're on an island.
I don't think it wasn't even, I think, an equipment issue. It's just like...
No, he talked about how there was a lot of malfunctions.
Like, buying stuff because, like, I think even with a $10 million budget, like, realistically, there's only 3 sets in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably half that goes to like just paying people.
Yeah, just paying people.
So you could also imagine like the reshoots and shit. Like you, after a while, it's like, all right, well, we're out of budget, but we still need reshoots.
If they had it, yeah.
Which I think that's what you meant by like the camera with his iPhone thing. Like I'm sure there's little things like, oh, we need to transition this.
Well, you got to think about it because like we were looking at the behind the scenes. He was filming for the majority of the time with like a $40,000 camera.
Yeah,
and it's like
handheld, right?
All handheld. So for the most part, you didn't have a gimbal and. Like, even if he did it, was on the smaller camera, which would probably be, like, an FX6 or, like, even, like, what they did in the creator.
I think this guy knows about cameras.
His name-dropping cameras over here. I don't... This guy knows what he's talking about.
You know, and so, I think, like, with some of this, like, rigging stuff, like, if he wanted to get, like, a waterproof case for that RA camera that he was filming on, it would have been...
They weren't even using... I saw that they had a fucking... a cover. A see-through cover for their camera in some of those night shoots where it was raining.
Yeah, like, no, that and like you're renting stuff, so that's just expensive. Like if you lose something, like it really fucks you up. But I think I want to talk about since this, you know, going back. I know George interrupted him like an asshole, but
I'm leading the discussion today.
I kind of want to talk about since this is his first time. Like what like if we're gonna get we're sitting if he was sitting in front of us, like what were the what would be some of the critiques and some of the positive things that we have to say about this movie?
I think it was a. monstrous achievement what he did with
he
what
did he had to work. Incredible job.
I think it was fantastic. It was his first time, which is it blows my mind because there's so much that needs to happen in order for a movie like this to actually be made and then actually see the theaters that everything had to go perfectly right for it to happen. One of the main things being that like Netflix literally shelved this movie when they had it completed.
Which is
insane. We'll get back to that in a moment. Horrendous. But I think that it's crazy that this even all came together, that he actually made it work and happen. And then the final cut and you know all of it as a whole is great. I loved it. I loved it a lot.
And I think with this
kudos movie, to him for making
I think
it
what this movie also highlights is that like man you don't need a big budget and I think we've talked about this several times in this podcast like a small budget can really get you real far with you like somebody really willing to put in the practical effects like,
yeah and creativity
like if you look if we like we're not going to base it on actual totals but we're going to base it off of profit margins. This movie's already 100% in the profit like in the short time it's been out compared to like if you look at what's coming out this week, Kung Fu
Panda. Not for Netflix.
What's the ROI, bro?
You're 100%. You like the
Hundo? 112%.
Hundo?
Like fucking the Keen. What's his name?
Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele. Like he already got his money out of it because he's the one that put up the money for this. And
Monkey Paw Productions.
Yeah, Monkey Paw. And so like man, like, and I think this movie as time goes on is just going to continue to be a fucking moneymaker because it's like
yeah, absolutely. Because
not only is it running in theaters, then it's going to go on digital, and I feel like that's where people are.
It's going to go on Netflix, and then
it's going to Universal because Universal has the rights.
I think
I'll bet it should make its way to Netflix,
it's making money off of the theaters, off of the streaming, off of
it's a beautiful thing that happens when like there's a shitty situation and something good comes out of it because like Netflix shelved it, right? They spent $20 million on this movie, and they just said, "Hey, it's not for us."
It was 10, fool. Stop saying 20.
Netflix spent 20 and then they sold it to Universal for 10.
So
they sold that at a loss.
Yeah. Netflix lost money, but Monkey Paw is making their money back.
Yeah, but what's crazy to me is like I'm so happy for Dev on this because like you look at Chris Pine. I love Chris Pine. He's a great actor, but Swimming his what is it? Pool Man is his directorial debut.
Oh, I heard
it's
that
getting
correct.
Absolutely.
Oh,
fucking
and Charlie Day. He also had a movie that just fucking bombed. It was shit.
Yeah, and so it's shit. Like I love these actors, but like let's be honest, like. I'm so happy that the brown guy you know, as other people of color ourselves, like, is the one who's actually, like, succeeding on this, especially with every obstacle he had. Like, this movie seems like a nightmare.
And also a miracle that it all worked.
Yeah. Actually, I'm glad you bring that up, because as I was watching this movie, I had a few thoughts, because I was thinking, you know, like, you don't see a guy like him leading a movie like this.
No.
Actually, I don't know if it's rarely or fucking ever.
I mean, look at Oscar winning. Yeah.
You know what really seeps through, though, in the entirety of this?
I'm not fucking done, George. Shut the fuck up.
There's a lot of heart and soul.
All right, I agree.
There's a lot of heart and soul.
George,
and
I said that like...
that's
like,
no, but that's the only...
Resident cuck, Alexis.
That's one of the reasons why we're so happy that it happened. Because it's like, if this guy didn't give a fuck about movies and like he was just like, you know, whatever, I'm just trying to make money or be, you know, a director or whatever. No, that's not the case at all. You definitely see like, hey, he put so much...
This is a passion project.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Time into it and it worked
out. And you can tell that it was like a sincere effort behind this film, because a lot of action films are just, all right, let's throw in some sick choreography, some visuals, hey, man, boom.
You look at it, Lexus talk, god damn it.
No, that's what I'm trying to add to this point. Like, when you look at it, like, this is like I spent 10 years of my life on this. Sad. And it definitely shows. Like,
yeah, I mean,
like, if we say like he put $10 million over 10 years,
that's a million a year,
dude. Like, he put the time and you see it, and like, again, it's not redefining the genre, but it's giving it a whole new twist to what, and like, is possible out there.
You know, I hate, we're not going to get political, but I'm saying,
let's get political.
Whatever orientation you lie on any spectrum, there's the amount of times that, like, in my opinion, someone who wasn't a brown or person of color facing all these challenges would have fucking gave up. They would have been like, oh, god damn it, this gimbal broke, or fuck, we can't film outside of the hotel.
I think maybe a person of privilege would have.
You know what? That's
color
even
aside, Nick.
Color aside.
I see color. I'm colorblind.
Even a director that had, let's say, if Michael Bay had to fucking work with a $10 million fucking,
he'd
like,
kill himself.
This. You'd fucking kill himself.
Yeah. Michael Bay would be like, that's one fucking explosion.
No, but you know, the assistant director finish it off and then say that he did it.
You know what's funny? That more often than not is the case. I feel like there's so many shitty movies that come out and then they're just kind of like, you know what? Like, the director quit 2 times and then they had to hire new people, and then like everyone's like, oh no, it's his fault, blah, blah. Everyone's pointing fingers, then you get a shit production, and then you're like, what went wrong? And it's literally because there's no passion, there's no fucking care. They're just like, not my problem, I'll push it on to the next guy.
I'm gonna tie it back real quick, because Alexis said something stupid that was, you know, I'm actually taking back what you said. It's not person of privilege, it is person of color, because my whole point on that is that he decided to say, I think a lot of him was like, there isn't anybody like me right now making movies that gets to go to Hollywood. We have to be in Bollywood.
So it's like,
I have to make this
dude
movie.
And it was crazy because
you have to make, it's either you're making RRR or you're making, you know,
you say RRR.
It sounded funny. I don't know. RRR, or you end up with something like this where it's actually Hollywood. Like, and it's not just like, oh, it's not just Bollywood, it's literally like a movie that I wanted to make. But
and you know, I think that's why Jordan Peele also was like, I think was the perfect person to have his like production company be behind it, because he also understands, like, as a person of color and a person that
especially
has, like,
jumping into horror, which is not primarily directed by people of color.
Honestly, he did reinvent that genre a little bit.
Definitely did. He
now have his movies continue to be good. We don't know,
but it is nice to see somebody in that position bring others in.
Oh, dude, 100%.
Because he could easily be like,
he extended a hand, and
I'm excited what this guy, like, what Dev can do with like 30 million.
Shit.
Or like fucking
double it.
Or even 20 million.
Gorilla Man. Bigger monkey.
I think also the fact that, I mean, Dev's like movies in the past have done so well. Like, I mean, look at Slumdog Millionaire, did really well. The Green Knight, I mean...
I like the Green Knight.
Green Knight, I know, but it's one of those films, like, it's a...
And
he
was good in it, too.
It's a...
Dev Patel's
the Green game. Hornet.
Oh, no, not with Seth Rogen.
I don't know what Green Knight is. Sorry,
you
didn't watch Green Knight?
No.
It was good.
It's very different, so
it's
I think
it's... an A24 film.
Yeah, right? But it does really well. The cinematography in the Green Knight, though, was fantastic. And then, also, he did Life of Pi, so...
Life of Pi was
Life
good.
Of Pi?
That's George's autobiography. Yeah. Okay.
Title my sex tape.
But, no, but like all those things,
OnlyFans,
he did so well in all those movies that I think like he was fortunate enough to be like, all right, now this is my chance to like really, you know, do something and make it work. And he fucking took it and ran with it. And I'm glad that it happened.
He took it,
and he probably could have quit 1,000 times.
No, 100%. But
he said no.
He should have sometimes.
Hanuman.
Well, any Hanuman. Person in their right mind might have, should've, you know, yeah, at that point. Because, like, I can't imagine
but
the pressure.
In terms of criticism, though.
Oh, yeah.
He did do it. Shut the fuck up. All
I'm
right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Bro, you keep talking. I was about to say, I'm like, you're right. We've been dick riding. Like, yes, Daddy? A lot. What are some of the negatives?
Hey,
what
talk to me think? Like that again real quick.
All right.
I'm close.
I think obviously the action was fucking good, you know, yeah. But there were a lot of things that he was trying to juggle, you know, maybe trying to shine a light on the political issues over there on that side of the world, but he couldn't really focus on it too much. And so it felt like there were many things happening at the same time in the background, but it wasn't a focused vision.
Yeah, because a lot of it, a lot of some of the background stuff that he kept putting around in like the short, like, the short, like, back, literally the background moments, yeah. it didn't give enough to piece together, and like we
had to pick up the pieces to kind of,
which is
fill
fine
in the gaps,
but yeah. It just didn't feel like a good, like, picking up of the pieces,
right. I don't think it's that type of movie,
and I want to recognize too that it's hard to do that, because I mean I think it's
no for sure,
because you go to you go to any culture, right? Like, as Latin Americans, we'll understand our cultures better, but I'm sure, like, you have someone from fucking Australia trying to watch a movie about Peruvians, and if it gets too deep, it's now not approachable. Yeah. And so I think,
like,
that's...
What are we even watching, mate?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how they'd sound.
Yeah, that's exactly... That's the accent.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah, but I think, again, it still shouldn't have been something that he should have even highlighted, right?
I mean, I like the politicalness a little
like
bit.
Like, it was nice. Like,
I think the politicalness added to the background of, like... I mean, Dave Patel's background, obviously, and, like, how there's so many things that aren't...
And just the twisted nature of life. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. It adds a nice layer, but I think I would have liked to see it been more developed.
I wanted some of it. It's like
maybe showing a little bit more of, like, the Baba Shakti doing negative fucking
and
shit.
And I feel like that's kind of like a good criticism, because it's not like I'm saying like they shouldn't have done this.
You didn't do it right
out. Like,
no.
You know,
you would have liked it.
I would have wanted more. And I feel like with his perspective, we would have learned more.
And he had time.
I absolutely.
Yeah, it was.
Look, we get it. You hate the runtime so much, and I feel like if anything, 2 hours was too short. Because like there was a lot of things that he needed to develop more. Like Alexis said, but. I didn't hate the runtime.
Maybe cut out the shit with his mom. You know, I get it.
That was, and I've said this a lot in the podcast.
Oh, like,
my issue with runtime,
like,
is if the runtime makes sense, it makes sense. But if it's just like, if I'm having like 20 minutes of shit that I just like it didn't give me enough time to actually care about it or feel for it, then don't fucking put it.
Okay,
in.
I agree with that, because there's certain things like the flashbacks I did not appreciate, because it kept going back and forth, and I was like, I still don't understand what the flashbacks are
until
the end of the movie.
Too many same flashbacks.
Yeah,
too many flashbacks where it's him running through the forest with
and
his,
I'm like, okay,
the
why
roots.
Is shit on
or
fire?
The
what's
demon,
going on?
Or do that
Hanuman.
Once.
Hanuman.
Like fucking get over that. Like, dude, again, like, if it was 30 minutes longer, I think it would have been nice. If it had been 20 minutes shorter, I think it would have been nice. And like, I agree. Yeah,
honestly,
I agree
good with that.
I don't know if you guys watched the Bob Marley biopic.
I watched it. It was good.
So there's a similar scene where there was a bunch of flashbacks with like shit on fire, and then his dad's on a horse. Yeah. You remember? It reminded me exactly of that for some reason.
And I was pissed about that.
Yeah, that's why it sucked. So, I was like, what is going
wanted
on? Like,
less?
Just explain.
Yeah,
it to
me. It was a lot less. Like, it just I didn't think it needed to be there for like the 10 times it showed up.
Yeah. So it was repetitive.
I would have rather just like those 10 times. Like, fill me in more what's going on with Bob.
That's another thing that I do have a complaint about, the editing. I think that he did well with what he had to work with, a lot of the shaky camera work, all those different things, but a lot of the fight scenes, I feel like...
No, that's great, though.
No, I know, but... A lot of the cuts... I mean, what I mean by the editing style is, like, a lot of the fight scenes, there's so many cuts that I'm just kind of like, I almost get lost.
But I like that they didn't only do that fight style, because that's a really big cop-out, you know, in fight movies, where it's like, you're not going to show one continuous cut.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we talked about the overhead shot, you know, and how it's inspiration from other films and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I love those types of shots just because it forces you to choreograph a fight all the way through.
I know, but those are so much harder. I get that. But I am saying it's like, it's a critique. I'm not going to, like, say it's
I wanted Dev to act more. Like, he's a fantastic actor. And in this movie, he just took fucking... He did what...
I thought he had a lot of emotion.
No,
I
don't have any issues. With
yeah, because especially when he was facing off against Ronda the first time, he was like shaking, like
literally.
Visibly.
We talked about that scene where it's like he has the gun out. He's like, "This is it. This is your chance. You're gonna get your vengeance."
No,
and he doesn't shoot him because there's so much emotion. Yeah.
I don't know. I just wish, like, for somebody that can act at the level that he can. He really went for the John Wick. And again, I know they're referencing it, and I keep bringing it up, but like, I think he could have said a lot more lines.
Keep in mind, he was directing, producing,
I get
writing,
it.
Acting,
I get it.
Stunt acting.
I get it.
He broke multiple limbs.
You're not wrong, though. There's other aspects of acting and range that he could have done. But yeah. I personally enjoyed a lot of the range that he did show. Mm-hmm. But I'm not disagreeing that he could have done more.
No, but I always think, you know, this was an incredibly difficult shoot from I can give him some slack.
We're talking out of our ass because, you know, he had to deal with funding issues, COVID. Right.
Could any of one of us direct this as our first
time? Yeah, no. I'll do it right now.
But he did
Gator's
have...
Gator's got the rig. What camera you got? Gator, flex on
it. But he did have 20 years of experience with Slumdog and Skins and a ton of... Like, yeah, I've
watched a lot of those movies.
A lot of actors that we know have a lot of experience. Like Chris Pine and fucking Charlie Day, and they fucking suck cock.
They fucked it up. Yeah, I feel like even Chris Evans tried, probably.
Yeah, Chris Evans has America's ass, so he sucks.
Oh, you know who just directed the first one, too?
Please don't say something I just said.
No, the guy from New Girl.
You're from New Girl.
Nick from New Girl?
I think he did. Yeah, he did one. Let me look it up.
Benjamin Parker.
In the meantime, one thing I wanted to add, too, is we haven't really talked about his side characters. So, in my opinion, you know, both of them actually were good. They had a lot of, like, scenes that developed and added to the story. But I do think that Sita didn't really do as well as Alfonso. Alfonso was funny. The interactions that he had really served to show
Alfonso came in strong too.
Yeah, and how Bobby was able to get higher up into like the organization. He was really key. He was crucial. And like even the friendship seemed a little genuine at times, which was kind of sad that you realize Bobby's just using him. But Alfonso probably feels like a little bit more.
I feel like Alfonso had to put up this front, like this hard guy, because his legs all fucked up, and like the higher ups were just like making fun of him. And
that's what's sad is
and then kid used that. He leveraged that, and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna step on his toes." And then
it's kind of like the same thing that you see from like a typical bully, right? Like if they're bullying you, it's because they're getting bullied somewhere else. And so like the way he acted like with the rest of the servers and cooks and stuff downstairs versus how he was treated, it's pretty obvious. But Sita, though, on the other hand, I mean, there's a lot of aspects to it. You know, it almost seemed like at certain points she was getting introduced as a potential romantic character, which, I mean...
Maybe if they had like 30 minutes, like I said, 30 minutes more, they could have probably fleshed that out.
I think she was just really a vessel to show that there's some like sexual like exploitation or trafficking going on.
Not only that, but I think a lot of it too is just to show that he's not the only one who's experiencing like this. Like it's just adding it to a more, you know, like with Alpha and with Sita, it was showing like we are all victims to this corruption, to these people and just different aspects of that. Right. Alpha killed it. You know, all of them did. But I'm curious about your guys' thoughts. Like if there was anything in particular.
I think I would have probably got rid of the aspect of like focusing on a singular person like they did. Like,
yes.
And I would have probably focused on like other stuff that was happening to the other girls in the club instead of like just saying, we're going to focus on this one chick, right? And make it seem like it's kind of like a love interest connection. I would have got rid of that and just made it seem like, okay, this one person, like the police chief did this to this. He did this to another person. You know, he did it like just
well,
to...
Well, they
like,
did have certain aspects of that. Not with just with the girls that were being trafficked. Also with the girls or the people at the temple. Wasn't there a certain scene where the
trans community?
Yeah, because the corrupt cops came in, remember? And then they were like, oh, we're going to close this place down or whatever.
Oh,
and
they beat the crap out of one.
Yeah, and you got to come up with this money or we're going to, you know, screw you guys. So they were also like a vessel for
and I think they did a really good job there because you know I actually just watched the Batman this weekend again.
Nice.
And I was looking at the scenes again with Catwoman where she's like looking where she's in the club like 44 below at the Iceberg Lounge and she's like she's really taking that role of like overseeing and helping out her sisters or the other women who work there. And I feel like I would have preferred that over like this whole potential romantic relationship because I did like that they didn't develop the romance. It's like just because we're both facing the same level of corruption doesn't mean we automatically got to fuck.
Yeah. But it still felt superficial. You
know? I do think that I'm glad that they didn't develop the romantic side of it, but they should have developed their kind of connection and relationship.
Well, I would have liked it if she was almost showing like as a role model or as a like not a savior but like someone who was helping the other women there even if she wasn't that role like just like you said develop some of the other characters Isaac you mentioned that and then show their community like you have Bobby's community where how he kind of fell in with the alpha with alphas and also where he stood with the rest of like the slums like his network of people who he was able to rely on
I think this kind of goes back to my critique because like we saw that he could balance well, you know, showing a community like the trans community as the from the temple that like brought him back to health. Like he did really well in showing us their struggle. But then, you know, with the other ones, like, not so much. And well, so he really should have just focused a bit more on that. And one of
the
things that makes me
wonder is I kind of want to watch now what the unedited version, what Jordan Peele saw, because I'm like...
Oh, yeah,
because he even thought in one of the interviews, like, hey, Jordan made me, like, essentially made him, like, cut down the movie a lot more and figure out a better pacing. So maybe there's... Maybe I think if they would get some of that stuff in there and made it might have been a different movie, you know?
Dev, if you're listening... Release the uncut.
Director's cut.
Come on. Yeah, make it happen. Snyder's doing it for fucking that stupid ass movie. Might as well.
Yeah. Of course, now bringing in DC.
Always.
No. The new one, the Rebel, whatever. That's not DC.
Yeah, okay, you're a Rebel. Okay.
That's for you, George. Rebel Moon. Movie was garbage.
Damn.
That's for you, George.
I'm straight up. Jesus. Straight Hanuman. Yeah.
Who's shit in my pants?
The ass dust is in there, okay?
Wow.
All right. Well, I think we've touched base on a lot of the topics.
You want to go to favorite scenes?
Yeah, let's do that. Isaac, what do you think was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene. It's kind of tough. I don't really have a favorite scene.
All right, George, what's your favorite scene?
Once he redeemed himself out training and did all that and like that little montage, and he came back and fought in the ring again, and he just absolutely kicks that fucking guy's ass, just destroys him. That was
one kick. Yeah,
he just kicks him, and everyone's like hyping him up, like like, no wait, actually everyone's booing him, yeah, and then wants him to lose, and then he just kicks his fucking ass, and they're like, monkey man.
And Tiger was Tiger's like
fuck, what do I say? He's like, okay. that was crazy.
Shit. I love his accent.
Yeah, no, Tiger was just like, what the fuck, dude? That wasn't part of the script, bro. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But that was great. I love that. Good. That was a good scene.
And how he utilized that little kid to bet to like do like...
He was like, I'm going to kick his motherfucking ass and let's make it happen. Alexis, what do you think?
I like the Annie man scene when he really fucks up Indian Jesus with the fucking thing and, you know, stabs his skull. You know, repeatedly.
Oh yeah.
I heard some reactions in the theater, like a lot of oohs and ahs.
But I actually watched this in an empty theater, which kind of sucked. Wow, so I was just like,
you.
Oh man,
it was just you. No,
it was just
noises.
Me and my girlfriend. But
all right, Nick.
All right, for me, I really liked the training montage. I know Isaac had his experience with that.
It's because you just like to see but shirtless men.
Do you want to know why the training montage was cool? I really liked the drum beat and like how basically he was using the drum beat to like tell him like, this is how fast you need to punch, and helping him develop
a rhythm. That was very creative. Helping, I liked that a
and,
lot too.
But using like a way to help develop a rhythm in fighting, which is super important, but also like bringing in the culture of it. Because that was some sick fucking
drum beats. You're not a boxer, but you're like jiu-jitsu, right? Or what do you do that?
Taekwondo.
Doesn't matter.
My friends love me.
But regardless, the style of fighting, is that realistic? Is that something that like, I mean, obviously as a fighter, you have to develop rhythm, but do you think someone would actually use that and it actually be beneficial to training?
I mean whenever we'd spar or fight, we always put on music, and every time I do it with music, it feels a lot more like I have my breath control. I have like, because I can try to like, even because, you know, my fighting style is a lot of bouncing, a lot of movement in general, so like you start to bounce to rhythms.
Thank you, sensei. You're welcome.
And so if you don't do that, and if you don't start to develop things that will help you kind of gain your rhythm, it'll make it a lot harder.
So it's not gimmicky. It's like, no, realistically, someone can use drums like, and, you know, you can find that rhythm.
And you can equate that when you run.
Yeah.
You listen to music when you run, you have a rhythm.
And I think it wasn't even about just establishing rhythm. It was about challenging and pushing him. Because like, I think what basically he was trying to say, he's like, right now you're going through your training, but you need someone to push you. I mean, every boxer is a coach. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what he was kind of playing at. He's like, I'm not gonna punch with like you, but I'm gonna tell you like punch, like jab, jab, cross, jab, jab, cross. He kept telling him to do that one at the beginning, and he was increasing Change the speed. The rhythms, different
wax on,
like
wax
that.
Off. Dude.
Exactly. Yeah. I wax off all the time, you know. But
too much. Too much. Too
yep, his asshole is perfectly waxed. It's beautiful. I love it.
We'll post that. Whoever sends us an email first, you'll get the image.
That'll be the signature on the email.
The first like, person that gets an email gets to see a cock. We don't know.
It's just a rooster. Yeah.
Isaac, did you ever figure out your favorite scene?
No.
All right, that's it.
Then. All right, well, going back to Alexis, the thing at that scene with the sandals, I thought that was really interesting, though. Like
the sandals,
how the Indian Jesus, he literally says that the sandals were
What's his name in the movie?
I forgot.
Baba Shakti. He talks about how the shoes were specifically made so they don't harm small creatures.
We're actually talking about Jesus. We're talking about
From Big Lebowski.
From Big Lebowski.
Yeah, that's exactly.
He's a great bowler.
Yeah, and then how it's engraved in the wood that he's not going to hurt others, and then he uses it as a fucking knife to try to kill the kid. It's ironic and kind of hilarious, and yeah, I like that. Yeah. That was a nice detail. But all right, that's the best scenes. Now let's jump into Letterboxd.
Letterboxd reviews. All right, so these are, again, people that follow us and that we follow back on Letterboxd on our Four Guys, One Film profile.
Shout out to you guys.
All right, and this one is by Jay. 2.5 stars. This is trying so hard to be like John Wick, I feel. Some decent fight scenes, but the camera work was all over the place. I feel like it only got decent in the last 20 minutes or so.
So going back to what we were talking about earlier, it is trying to be John Wick, but it wears that proudly on its sleeve. Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay.
Yeah. And I feel like it dissolves that layer of John Wick.
It does.
It does become something else.
Exactly. It's not. It's partial John Wick, which, I mean, fuck. At what point are we going to start saying, like, how are you not taking influences from things in film? How are you going to make a fucking action film that doesn't have influence from the thousands of action films? Yeah, like, or other... Yeah.
Because John Wick is heavily influenced by other martial arts.
Yes, look at Old Boy. Yeah. That scene in Old Boy when he's in the hallway and it's one continuous shot where he's beating up all these goons. Exactly. That's been referenced millions and millions of times over. It doesn't mean like, oh, they're trying to be Old Boy. It's like, no, that they're giving homage to it.
John Wick is the most polished. I'm sorry that, like, you know, Old Boy developed one of the greatest ways to do an action sequence. Should we just not do it anymore? Like,
directors in a modern era are standing on the shoulders of giants, and it's very difficult to create something new and bring something new to any genre. And I think he did that well. Gracefully. And I think that's you know, something he should deserve kudos for.
Yeah. So. And so I feel that 2.5 stars is a little too low.
It's a little harsh.
It's a little low. It's a little harsh, especially knowing kind of the behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah. You kind of, I mean,
there was effort here. You know?
You definitely see the amateurness of, like, it being his first film. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it's still great for what it is. Yeah. So. Yeah.
But hey, you know what? That's his review.
Right, for $10 million, you can't really complain.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. This one is by Double D Jurakic. 4.5 star. An anthem for the underdog, the voiceless, the marginalized. I'm not a fan of action genre, but I love this movie. I was mesmerized the whole time. Every fight scene was incredible. Amazingly shot. Great music. They cried.
The music was great. I'll give him that. Yeah. The music was
great. They said, I never watched an action movie with so much soul and heart. I need to watch some Rocky movies. Dev Patel, I'm in awe of you. I hope you never stop making some sick-ass movies. 4.5 stars. I feel like opposite energy from that first one.
Yeah. No. I mean, really, there's not much else we could add to that. I think he summed it up really well.
Yeah. I forgot about the music, but the music with the drums,
some of the music that they remixed that are like more popular culture, like, songs are really nice too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's what scared me, but yeah.
Good one. Amazing review.
All right. This one's by Snyder House. 2 stars. The hype did not resonate at all for me after being so excited to watch Dev Patel cook. No sense of world, no sense of story. The words John Wick are said out loud. And hey, establishing shots are kind of important. I don't know if they're trying to say that there were too many establishing shots of the city, maybe. But interesting. I disagree that there's no sense of world or no sense of story.
I think maybe in the way that it's maybe a little too, like, it's too crumbled. And there's too much world that it doesn't really focus on what the fuck is.
Well, also, we have to consider how it was filmed. Like, he had one small island in quarantine to work with, and it still felt like it was a grand,
in my opinion.
Like,
yeah,
it felt huge.
That's like saying, like, Old Boy, like, or talking about, like, fucking any one of these rooms, like, or movies where, like, they're all in one room. It's like, your world building doesn't have to be the entire city you live in. It could be as small as the room. Like, you know, if you're stuck or trapped in something in those types
of rooms. Look at Reservoir Dogs.
Exactly. It's it's all about building the setting that you're trying to be in. It was the hotel, it was the ring. And then it was slight shots of them going around the city to show that poverty was everywhere and everybody's experiencing it.
They also had the temple too. I felt like the temple was huge. Great too. Yeah. Like, no, I think that that's a little bit harsh to say that it was like not grand when it's like reality. What he had to work with, he made it feel like a real world that he's living in.
It did not feel like a movie where they were trapped and had to film in a hotel through quarantine.
There's so many other movies where I feel like they're doing blue screen or green screen, and it's like, it literally does not feel like they're literally in a studio in fucking Hollywood, and that's like it. Like here, it did not feel like that.
Like, it's gonna look like shit in 10 years. Like,
yeah. No, but yeah, you can see the grime here. You can see the sweat. It feels real. So,
Snyder also, House. Going back to like the hype, I think the hype lived up to it. Mm. I honestly, like, I saw so many previews of this and everything, like the interviews and how it came about, and I was super hyped for it, and I wasn't disappointed. I felt like
I was hyped because there was a sick ass billboard down the 405 on the way over here of the movie. So that was pretty sick. But, nice. Yeah. Anyways, that's 2 stars right there.
2 stars.
Dang. At least like
we have 3. One more. Or is that it?
We got 2 more. Okay. Or I'll make this one quick. This one's by Jared. A bit messy at times, but ultimately awesome. Love how the film views violence against their oppressors as justified, but still brutal. Too many action films these days don't even seem to think of violence at all. Yeah, I mean, that's true. We don't really think about the repercussions of people getting murdered.
Yeah.
Or these political
or the motivation sometimes. Like, sometimes the motivations, it's like, oh, you fucked my daughter, or you killed, you know, killed my wife. And it's like, terrible things, don't get me wrong, but you don't just get to murder 50 people now.
Right. Like, and then keep murdering more people for 3 more movies after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one, it's like, he understood. He let go of his life.
John Wick's kill count? Oh, my God. Yeah, that's borderline genocide. He's still, like,
4 times the amount this movie was, I think. Yeah.
I wonder how much Dev Patel or Bubby killed in this movie. We should track that down later.
I mean, because I don't know if he didn't, like, unlike John Wick, he didn't kill everybody. Like it was funny to me, like, when he came back the second time, like, he wasn't killing them until they kept coming back. Like, so many of them, he just knocked out and kept walking into the elevator. You know, like, it didn't seem like he was even trying to kill everybody. Like when he was downstairs in the, in, like, the kitchen, all those scenes, like, so many times he would walk away from after hurting them. Mm-hmm. And then they'd come back and he's like, all right, I'm gonna hurt you a little bit more. But it seemed like, one, it was a great way to show he's trying to save energy. And two, it was like, my beef isn't with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm here for Rana, and I'm here for Indian Jesus. That's it.
Baba Shakti. Actually, now that's making me think. Do you think he would have killed Baba Shakti if he didn't stab his ass? It seemed like there was a moment of doubt.
Because it was like, I don't think his beef was with Baba Shakti. It was with, like, the main cop guy. Right. Like, that was
he was definitely with Baba Shakti, because the only reason that the chief...
No, I know, but the chief literally, in cold blood, murdered his mom and set her on fire. Like,
yeah, but the
I think he had confirmation that the chief needed to die, but in his head he was like, whether I decide to kill Baba Shakti or not is still up to debate. And he made it easy for him once he started to kill him.
Yeah. Also, it didn't seem like Baba Shakti was that bad of a guy. Like,
what?
What the fuck?
He's like, no, until the end, the reveal where it's like, he's been behind all this the entire time, and he plays this, like, savior figure where he's like...
That twist was, like, seen from a mile. I don't even consider that a twist. I mean, I was like, that's so obvious for me, which I was fine.
For sure, but it's also like he's supposed to portray this, like, leader.
It's
not
like an M. Night Shyamalan fucking twist where, like, it's like 45 minutes long.
It was alpha all along.
And then it just ended.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing I like else. That too.
All right, this is our final one. All right, they give it a 4-star. Matthew, shit, absolutely bang. Bravo, Dev Patel. Action was so well executed. Backstory was great. Style was so slick, and the music popped off. Queenie served so hard, and Dev was fucking hooning it on his little scooter. Amazing directorial debut. Get more money. This is awesome.
Ooh, we didn't really talked about Queenie. Queenie did great too. Great villain. Honestly, way better than any of the other villains in my opinion. Queenie.
What was that guy's review?
4 stars.
Four stars.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, nobody gave it a 5. Okay.
No, I agree with this guy. This is good. This is great. Like, everything just hit perfectly.
All right, George, since you're talking about it, fucking give your review then, Hopo.
No, I mean, it's time to marinate. It sounds like you've already made your decision, Gator. So, let it out.
I give it a 7.
Oh, interesting.
That's
pretty good.
No, like, I thought it had a lot of good bones. I would have appreciated 20 minutes less or 30 minutes more and better editing. Like, in terms of inputting story. And I think he would have had, like, a fucking, like, absolute banger. He would have had a, like, instant classic. He would have had, like, this is a movie you go back to, and then, like, motherfuckers in film school, our audio technician that missed out today, like, this is the type of shit that they'd be like, this is what you can do with $10 million, you assholes. Like, this is what you guys should strive for.
Yeah. So, especially as a beginner film. Like, as a beginner film. Yeah. This is the stage that you have to compete against.
And I think... Literally, I think if he does like 2 or 3 movies and he really like, hey, maybe we should like at him on like social media, because it seems like he would actually like reply back to it. And like, because he did a good job. Like, Through and Through did a good job. I think we gave him fair criticism in this podcast. Like, it wasn't, like, we weren't
mean about it.
We weren't mean. Mm-hmm. Like, we could have been mean, but, it wouldn't have been constructive. And I think we gave him an honest opinion and honest, response to what...
Agreed.
What he can work on. Because he, honestly, one, he deserves to continue to do movies. And two, I think he has a really bright future. And especially because... he's a man of color, so... Yeah.
This kid's got it.
He's it.
Alexis, what about you, buddy?
I'll also give it a 7. Solid action flick. And again, I don't want to reiterate, but same thing that Isaac says. He did a good job with what he had and shit. Like, if he... with more money and less obstacles, I think he'll do amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give it an 8. And it's not even just because I think it would always be an 8. I feel bad saying it might have a crutch because it's his first film or because of all the difficulties he's been through, but... he did phenomenal. And like, the more that I started thinking about like just how he looked amazing. He worked really hard for that body, especially at that age. The music, all the things that we didn't really get a chance to cover necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to give it a higher score. Yeah. So I'm landing at 8.
That's nice. That's nice.
I think I'm going to have to agree with Nick on this one. I was thinking 8, same exact thing. I think that this hits home mainly because it's like...
you're also from Mumbai.
No, because it's a miracle that movies... are made even at all, let alone a good movie. And not only that, every time he talks about it, there's nothing but raw passion and love. Humble. And yeah, and you see how humble he is, I don't know if I could do it. And then he just honed in and he's like, I'm gonna make it happen.
It's never like I fucking did it, I'm amazing. It's like, I'm glad I got to do this.
Yeah, and then it's beautiful to see that he put heart and soul into it, and then it actually came into fruition and then ended up with this product that people were able to see, like people like us that appreciate movies. And then overall, just the final product I really enjoyed. So 8. Solid 8. I loved it.
Great.
Wow. Looks like on average, we gave it a 7.5.
That's solid. Solid action. Solid.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you haven't checked it out yet, go check out Monkey Man. It's a great movie. Also, listen to our other John Wick podcasts. We did, I think we only did 4, right?
I think we did Chapter 4, yeah.
Yeah, we did 4. So yeah.
Check you may have out to go back and do them.
Yeah, we've hit a lot of action films, though, here. We've done,
Predator.
Predator, Creed. Yeah.
We got to go back to the romance films. Those are the ones that really hit.
Yeah. Make you guys fall in love.
Maybe Eternal Sunshine?
Hey, we kind of do a little bit of everything, want some for something for everyone.
Exactly. And honestly, they email us so you guys can get that special gift. We got something.
Yeah, exactly. We got something.
If somebody makes it to the end of our podcast and he actually emails it, they deserve it. They deserve something.
We're waiting. But right. If you like this, then, definitely follow us on, YouTube, Instagram, and just let us know on Letterboxd, too, what you like and what you didn't like, and follow us there.
Yeah.
All right, guys. This has been 4 Guys,
One Film.